Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Stunning. Noel literally means to be born of God. What a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for us to gather at Christmas Eve to celebrate Jesus. So well done on making it to church on Christmas Eve. Give yourself a big hand. In case you missed the first part, my name is Ken and I'm the pastor here at Nations Church. And I reckon Christmas is such a great time to take some time to reflect about what the true meaning of Christmas actually is. And I reckon if you do a survey across maybe 100 people of what Christmas actually really means to 100 different people on the street, I reckon you'll get 100 different answers. That's because in society, I think Christmas can be a whole bunch of things. And for a lot of us, it can actually be both joyful and stressful. How many are feeling that right now? Joyful and stressful. It can be celebratory or it can be sad and triggering at the same time. Or it could be one or the other. And the reason for that is because I think sometimes we can make Christmas into something that God never intended for Christmas to be. What if I told you that Christmas was actually not about whether things are going well or whether they're going badly for us? That's because Christmas is not about a what, but about a who. And his name is Jesus. And Christians all over the world celebrate Christmas as the day we remember the birth of Jesus. In fact, being all about Jesus was actually Christmas at its most purest form, way before Santa Claus came into the picture, way before the reindeer and the mistletoe and all the other stuff, the Christmas trees and the Christmas lights and the overeating on Christmas Day. Hello, come on, you already know you're going to overeat tomorrow. And then standing on the scales on Boxing Day and passing out at what is reported to you on the scales, right? The first Christmas night recorded in the Christian Bible in Luke chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 2 speaks of an expected event, which is the birth of Jesus, but in an unlikely place, in an unlikely way, and in an unlikely time in human history. The coming of Jesus was expected because as soon as sin entered into the world because of humanity's disobedience, God had one single focus, which was to restore relationship of people back to himself. And the only way that this could happen was to come into the world in human form, to take on the punishment of sin himself, to take our place. So that was expected because there had been prophecies or foretelling of this event through different centuries, through different eras, all saying the same thing, that God would come into the world and put human skin on for a time, and that we would call on him and call him the Son of God, and he would one day die on the cross and rise again so that all who believe in him can be restored, not just to a relationship with God, but to live an abundant life filled with hope. This is the wonder of Christmas, that God would come into human frailty and brokenness rather than expect a frail humanity to get its act together and measure up to God. The hope that is Christmas is not about whether things are going well or not so well, but the hope of Christmas is this, that Jesus is here. Come on, someone say amen. He's not a distant deity. That's the wonder of Christmas, that we can have hope in every season, regardless of what our year has been like, because Jesus is here with us now. But there's more. The Christmas account in the Bible is full of these incredible layers that reveal what it means to know this Jesus of Christmas. If you read the Bible in Luke chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 2 that account for that first Christmas night, there are multiple characters apart from Jesus, of course. There are multiple characters like shepherds and angels and Joseph and Mary and Herod. And we want to hone in tonight for the next 5 or 10 minutes on some characters in the first Christmas account. I want to speak to you out of Matthew chapter 2 today. You still there tonight? It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east, say wise men from the east, came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. I want to talk about a couple of well-overlooked, often overlooked details in the original Christmas account. Firstly was this, Jesus was born in a town called Bethlehem. You follow me so far? Say Bethlehem. Hold that up in your train of thought, that's significant. Secondly, there was this sudden appearance of these wise men from the east. I reckon this is one of the most significant accounts in the early part of the Gospels accounting for that first Christmas night, that these characters, these wise men from the east actually appeared. The reason why this is so significant to me personally is because for me, that's the original biblical evidence that Asians have been smart for 2,000 years. I'm trying to tell people my whole life. I reckon it's the original account, biblical evidence that these wise men from the east, I mean, we all know a smart Asian. 2,000 years ago was proven. Not only were they smart, but they were also diligent. The Bible calls them magi, or these men were ancient philosophers, and they studied their whole lives, ancient scriptures, philosophy, world religions. And then to make it even more diligent, they loaded up their camels with these gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and traveled nearly 1,500 kilometers from where they were to find this Jesus. If you needed any proof that Asians were smart and diligent, you need to look no further than Matthew chapter 2. Come on, somebody. How many of you know a diligent and a smart Asian? Don't believe me? Where do you go tonight at 1 a.m. if you're starving hungry? Chinatown. Because we're the only people working on Christmas Eve night. Hello, come on, somebody. Grills not open on Christmas Eve. Dome's not open on Christmas Eve. Chinatown. Hello. Not only are we smart, we are diligent too. Everybody knows if you drop your iPhone into some water, what do you put your iPhone in? Rice. Because you know, sometime in the middle of the night, some agent's going to come out and fix your phone for you. No one in living memory has ever dropped their phone in water and thought, let's put in some meat pies. Asians are smart and diligent. And these wise men from the east made this arduous trip, traveling across hostile territory, across horrendous weather conditions, after spending a lifetime diligently studying and searching. What were they searching for? They were looking to fill the void in their soul that only Jesus could fill. I reckon these wise men from the east were so significant because, and the early gospel writers put them into this account because I think they represent a piece of all of us. That at some point in your life, you're going to be asking the same questions that these wise men from the east were asking. What is life all about? What is the true meaning of life? Who am I? What is my identity? Is God real? And they looked for it in books and potions, in rituals and in practices, in religious practices, in philosophical debates and theories. And if they were born in the 21st century, they'd probably look for it on Instagram or social media for some kind of answers to what life actually is all about. And they thought that by expanding their knowledge, by reading more, by knowing more about world religions, it would fill the void inside their heart. They thought that somehow if they could look for what was on the outside to find answers, it'll somehow fill the void on the inside of their hearts. And they thought to look for answers to their questions in all of these different places. But they knew somewhere in their heart of hearts, alongside all their searching and researching, that there were these ancient Jewish prophecies that prophesied of the Messiah, this Jesus who is God in human form that would one day come. And the first sign of his coming, heralding the coming of Jesus, would be a moving star. And all of this was playing out in front of them, guiding them straight to him. And so Jesus coming was an expected event. They knew that he was coming. But when they got to where Jesus was, the wise men realized that God chose an unlikely place, an unlikely way, and an unlikely time for Jesus to enter into the world. Luke chapter 2 tells us that Jesus was likely to have been born in a manger or a stable in complete obscurity to a woman who had never been intimate with a man at a time when the Jews were oppressed by the Roman conquerors. I mean, this was not a likely place for a king to be born, and not a likely way for a king to be born, and not a likely time for a king to be born. So what is all this about? What does the first Christmas account where the wise men from the East found Jesus all about. It's an encouragement to those of us who maybe don't know Jesus yet, that may be searching in all the wrong places to fill the void in our heart that only God can fill. And it's this, that Jesus can be found, not when you are at your best, not when you got your act together, but Jesus can be found in the most unlikely of places. Come on, somebody. In the most unlikely times and the most unlikely seasons of your life. He came into the earth 2,000 years ago, and in another passage, this Jesus is called Emmanuel, this God who is with us. And so this message, this good news of Christmas is twofold. Firstly, it's this. For those of us who maybe you don't consider yourself a Christian, it's this, that all of human searching will only lead to one conclusion, that the greatest need in the human soul is to be at peace and be right with God, to experience His love, His grace, and His forgiveness. And the only way to do that is to put your faith and trust in Jesus. And if you want to open up your heart to Him tonight to do that, you'll find Him right here in front of you. Secondly, this message of good news at Christmas, for those of us who are Christians, it's this. Maybe you're ending the year and you find yourself in an unlikely place where things haven't worked out for you this year. Maybe you're struggling with your health. Maybe your family's a little messed up right now. Maybe there are financial issues that you're contending with. Maybe there's relational tension in your life right now and your heart is heavy. I don't know where you're at right now, but maybe you're finding yourself in an unlikely place, in an unlikely season, and it's making you feel uncomfortable. And you're maybe asking the question, where is Jesus in my life right now? Where is He? Well, the answer is that He's actually in the unlikely. He's more present and accessible and there in front of you in the mess of your life than you realize. If there's anything, these wise men from the East discovered this, that the Savior of the world, the King of Kings, came into the world not looking like a superhero, but He came as a baby. All the prophecies spoke of this king and how He would come and be the Savior of the world. And you would have thought that He would come looking like Thor. Have you know Thor from the Marvel movies? Thor. Have a mental image of what Thor is like. I might even have a slide of him up there somewhere. Thor. All the middle-aged women just woke up somewhere along the way there. Thor. Oh, Chris Hemsworth. But instead, He came into the world looking like a baby in a manger. And to make it even more unlikely, Jesus' entrance into the world was in a town called Bethlehem. It was so obscure. No one even knew where Bethlehem was. Even the smartest Asians in the world at the time needed God's GPS to get there. If it was Jerusalem, they would have got there, no problems. But Bethlehem was so obscure. It had no political, commercial significance whatsoever. What am I saying? I'm saying that the power of the Christmas message is that the answer to the human soul, Jesus, will always be found in the most unlikely of places. If you're here tonight and you're thinking, man, I've had such a tough year. Oh man, you don't know what this year has been like. We've just recently been through a relational separation. Or maybe we've just been through a grieving process of the loss of a loved one. Pastor, you have no idea what I've been through. I've been through my greatest heartache, my greatest trial, my greatest pain. I'm here to tell you today that you'll find Jesus right in front of you tonight, like the wise men from the East did, that the greatest gift to humanity is not found in an obvious place like under a Christmas tree, but it's found right where you are now, no matter how unlikely or meager or messy it looks. If you agree with me, say amen. Come on. Many of you in the room might not know our story, Chrissy and I, but our youngest son, Isaiah, who's 18 now, has additional needs, and he was born with a rare genetic syndrome. And when the formal diagnosis came, when he was about 6 years old in 2012, it was a really difficult time for us. And I remember ending that year with a really heavy heart because at the time, not much was known about this particular diagnosis. He probably would have been one of a few hundred at the time in the world to have been diagnosed with this particular syndrome. And you know, the geneticists and the pediatrician said that, you know, no one gets cured from this. It's part of his genetics. And I remember Christmas 2012, I don't think I was depressed,
but I had a heavy heart. How many of you ever been in a season in your life where you're not, you just had a heavy heart? Me and three other people. Come on, somebody. Where I've been maybe not full on depressed, but I just had a heavy heart. And I remember Christmas night, we just had a Christmas Eve service at church. And a week and a half before that, we had this fantastic sort of carols event out in the park. And I put my brave face on. I even sung Oh Holy Night, hit all the high notes. Not, maybe not as well as Hayden hit it, but I gave it a good go back when I was younger. We had our big family Christmas lunch and all of that sort of stuff. And I remember being Christmas night 2012, and everyone else was asleep, and I struggled to sleep. And there I was waking. I was just sort of dozing, but you know, I had my eyes open and tried to shut it. Chrissy was snoring next to me. I mean, she had no problem sleeping. My wife is blessed with good sleep, y'all. That's why she's so beautiful. She's blessed with good sleep. And I remember just saying a really simple prayer in bed that night, saying, "Lord, would you fill my heart with hope again? Because I sure can't find hope of my own accord." I was anxious about my son's future at the time, and you know, I was anxious about how that would affect our life, you know, raising a disabled son, how that would affect our marriage. I started entertaining quitting, doing this, and going back to accounting. I remember saying this really simple prayer in bed, and I remember in that moment, that Christmas night, that Jesus just began to fill my heart with peace, and with joy, and with hope. And then I started to just worship. What does that mean? For Christians, this is what we do. We just kind of give God the glory. And I began to sing an old hymn. Some of you might know it. That goes, "It is well. It is well with my soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul." And I kid you not, that Christmas night, I literally felt like one of those wise men from the East. Probably helped that I was already Asian. I was halfway there. But I felt like one of those wise men from the East that I just discovered that in my lowest moment, Jesus was right there. He was right there. And I couldn't help but fall on my knees in my heart to worship him. I'm here to tell you this very simple message, that the good news of Christmas is this, that in all of human searching, in all of the questions we're asking, the greatest gift of love and joy and peace and hope that surpasses all logic and understanding and all the blog sites and all the social media arguments about whether God is real and all the books you might read in the entire world is the gift of Jesus. Right there in the most unlikely of places, in our mess, in our confusion, in our trauma, in our grief. Musicians, you can join me. So 700 years before Jesus came into the world, Isaiah, the prophet, prophesied it. My son's name's Isaiah. And he says this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." How wonderful is that? Can we give Jesus a big shout of praise for the incredible prophecy? 700 years before Jesus comes, 700 years later on that first Christmas night, Jesus was born. And then he dies on a cross and rises again. 2,000 years later in 2012, in suburban Parkwood, there I was with a heavy heart, saying, "Jesus, would you fill my heart with hope again?" And I experienced him for real in my lowest and most unlikely place, like I did many times before that and many times after that. And I'm here to simply convince you of this one truth today, that he is the Savior of the world, but he's also a deeply personal Savior for you, that is not waiting for the fanfare and for you to get your act together and for things to be great before you discover him. But right here and now, no matter where you're at, Jesus is here. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com. Thank you.